today, and you're going to have to update your jokes. I'll give you one that's current. Okay. Why aren't there any Walmarts in Afghanistan? They'd all be targets. But we are here to study the Word of God again. So I would like you to start off this morning in John chapter 11, please. John chapter 11. I'd like this morning to look at what we could call the story of two sisters. That would be Martha and Mary. And see what we can learn in our Lord's evaluation of them. There are three passages in the Word of God where Martha and Mary are specifically brought before us. Luke 10, the one where ends John 11, and also John chapter 12. We'd like to briefly look at those three passages, but to set a foundation, just a couple verses, first of all, from John 11. And if you would go down to verse 5. John 11 and verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now it will tell us her sister's name was Mary in verse 2. This was a family that was in Bethany, about 2 miles from Jerusalem, not too far from Bethlehem, where a lot of news is today. And a family that received the Lord Jesus, and he loved them. He loved Martha and her sister, that is Mary, and Lazarus. I happen, as some of you know, to be a family of three. And I have two sisters, and their name is Martha and Mary. Thankfully, some common sense came to my parents, so it was my turn to be born, and I did not get Lazarus. But here we have Martha and Mary. And I want to point out here, the Lord Jesus loved them both, as well as their brother Lazarus. So they were loved of the Lord Jesus. Martha herself had a clear confession of faith of the Lord Jesus. If you go down, if you would, to verse 25. Verse 25 of John 11. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She, that is Martha, saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. He loved Martha, just as he loved Lazarus and Mary. And Martha had a clear confession of faith. She stood in a minority who did not know who the Lord was. Thought he might have been a prophet. Others looked at the signs and wanted to kill him. Didn't like what he said. But she confessed him as the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. You know, we learn later in a passage like 1 John 4:15, whosoever confesseth that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. How you get saved? By coming to terms with who Christ is as Lord and Savior. You know, as 1 John 5:12 will put it, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So Martha here is a woman of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, confesses him as the Son of God, and will receive him into her home when others didn't. Now, having said that, and not wanting to give Martha too bad a press today, however, there is a difference between these two sisters, a difference which the Lord Jesus noticed. We'd like to look at Martha and Mary this morning in some detail. Now, having said that, let's go back to the first passage in the Word of God. They are mentioned together in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, please. This becomes a very fundamental passage to understanding them. Luke chapter 10, and if you go down toward the bottom of it, which would be verse 38. Verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She not only believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, she was not only loved by him, she received him into her house. We might ask the question, have we today received the Lord Jesus into our hearts? You know what John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And so have we received him? And then is he welcome in our home? Is our home compatible for the person of the Lord Jesus? Well, Martha received him into her house. But then verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So we do see a difference between the two sisters. Martha, you will see in the three passages, will be associated with service, much service, and busyness. Always associated with either busyness or service, which isn't bad in itself, as you know, especially when it's for the Lord. But as we read there in verse 40, she was cumbered about with much serving. That word cumbered is a literal Greek word. You'll probably have it distracted in your translation. It either means distracted, but to be drawn away. And actually, she was drawn away from something more important because of the serving she was involved in and the many things she was involved in. So here we see much service became a detriment to something better. Cumbered about with much serving. And you will see Martha, she'll talk more than Mary. In fact, Mary will only say one sentence to the Lord in all the Word of God. But Martha is always saying something, serving and busy and so on. And in this, you will see in the passages before us, three times she will question the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very one she loved and the very one she confessed as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet, because she did not really understand his heart and his ways fully, she's too busy serving. She doesn't know him as well as Mary. And she will end up always questioning his judgment. In this passage, she will question his judgment in caring. In caring. Look at again her statement here in verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? It's a question. Don't you care that my sister has left me alone? And would you tell her to come and help me, please? And so in her mind, the Lord Jesus did not have enough compassion in her situation. She's been left alone to do all the chores and so on. And so she questioned the Lord's care or his compassion. As far as she was concerned, her complaint is too little, too little. The Lord wasn't doing enough for her. He should have gotten involved and solved this situation. Can that happen to us? In our service for the Lord, can we get so occupied that we get down sometimes? We say, the Lord has done too little. If only he would do more in my situation, things would be better. Martha here is saying, too little. Not enough is being done for me. But look at the Lord Jesus' answer to her in verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, or anxious, or worried, and troubled, that is disquieted or disturbed, about many things. So here, Martha, she'll worry, and she'll be disquieted, and things occupy her. She's busy, busy, serving, much serving, and things just have to be right, and she's troubled and disquieted, and really cannot enjoy her Lord to the fullest. But then he'll say this about Mary. He notices the difference. And look what he says in verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. There's one thing that's really important, one thing that's needful. And Mary made a choice. And Mary, I'm not going to take that away from her. Mary chose a higher calling. Well, what was this higher calling? I'm sure you noticed there, look at verse 39 again. And in all three passages, you'll find Mary in this position. Look at verse 39 again. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And every passage we'll see this morning, you'll find Mary at Jesus' feet. Down at his feet. Here she's at his feet, hearing His word, wanting to hear His instruction, wanting to hear what He has to say, listening quietly at His feet, not really questioning or dialoguing, but simply quietly in humility at the Lord's feet, wanting to hear the Master's heart. And He said, one thing is needful, and I'll never take that away from her. Not that serving is wrong, but there's a great potential in busyness and things that we can be drawn away and become disquieted and not know that intimate fellowship and hearing the voice of our Savior, if you're saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's needful, and it's called the good part. Mary at His feet and hearing His word, Martha cumbered about with much serving and questioning the Lord's judgment. Too little. You don't care enough. There's not enough compassion. Don't you care? You know, when we get so busy, we can have wrong thoughts about our Lord. And we can get down. Look at my circumstance. Where is the compassion of the Lord? Why doesn't He change things so things are easier for me? But Mary chose a different part. Not to question the Lord. Simply to listen to the Lord at His feet. And it wouldn't be taken away from her. Well, let's move on back to John 11, to the second passage of the story of these two sisters. John chapter 11. This is, of course, when Lazarus had been sick, and eventually he died. And when Lazarus was sick, nigh unto death, they sent a message to the Lord Jesus, who was not in the area at that time. And you look here at verse 3 of John 11. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. The one you love is sick. Well, verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Verse 6, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He got the message he was sick, but he didn't move. He simply stayed exactly where he was. Well, eventually, Lazarus died. Well, you look here at verse 14, John 11 and verse 14. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Well, you look here at verse 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Now that's two different reactions. Martha's busy, and there's really nothing wrong with meeting the Lord Jesus. Goes out to meet him, immediately leaves her spot. Mary simply stays alone and sits still in the house. Now there's a difference in attitude here. When Martha comes to the Lord Jesus here, you look at verse 21. Then Martha said unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now I suggest to you that is a if of question. In other words, if in Luke chapter 10, it was too little the Lord was going, here she's questioning the Lord's timing. In other words, you're too late. If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. If you'd just been here on time. Do we often feel that maybe the Lord is too late? And we question His timing in our life. If this would have happened just a little sooner, if you would have arranged this circumstance sooner, well, I wouldn't have fallen into this. And so we question the very timing of our Lord. She didn't understand His ways perfectly, and of course who does. But she questions the timing, and He is too late here. If thou wouldst been here, my brother would have not died. But she didn't qualify that statement. Look at verse 22. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. So she's busy talking to the Lord Jesus. I know. I know some things. I know God will still give you whatever you ask Him. Well, verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. I know. Okay, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord. And then she tells him more. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I know, I believe. Martha busy, telling what she believes and what she knows, meeting the Lord, dialoguing with him and so on. It's not evil. But Mary, on the other hand, sits still in the house. If you go farther down in the chapter here, you look, if you would, at verse 30. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep. Now the reason Mary rose up hastily, we should read that in verse 28. Look at verse 28. And when she so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Mary would not budge till she heard the voice of the Master. She would not move her position until the Lord Jesus bidded her to. And so she was in tune to the desires of the Lord. But once the Master bid her to, while she was on her feet, going to meet the Lord Jesus. One hastily going out to meet him, telling the Lord what she knows, and so on, said, if thou hast been here. And often, sometimes, we question his timing. If only, then this wouldn't have happened. But you know, Martha was content to settle for a lesser miracle. There was a bigger miracle the Lord had in store. But Martha would be satisfied for the lesser, that he would simply have been healed out of his sickness. Sometimes we get discouraged in the timing of the Lord, don't we? And we're willing to settle for less, not understanding the great truth of Romans 8:28 to the believer in the Lord Jesus, that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. It doesn't say, brothers and sisters, that all things are good. Some things are not good. They're wrong. But all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. We must ask, what is His purpose? And verse 29 of Romans 8 tells us, to conform us to the image of His Son. Whatever it takes, it will be more Christ-like and be more, adore Him more and grow into His image of love and righteousness and holiness and things like that. Whatever that takes, not necessarily our personal satisfaction in life, but all things work together for good. And sometimes His timing will not be able to figure out. But He might want to get our attention, might want to make us more dependent on Him, might want to show us His glory in a bigger way. And so He lets the situation get worse. So we see His power in an impossible situation. They could have settled for an easier miracle, so to speak. He just got better. But they're going to see Him rise from the dead. And so we need not question His timing. That we can have confidence in Him, that all things work together for good. This sovereign God is working in our life, and even out of evil, He can bring His glory and manifest Himself and so on. And so we see Martha, of course, well, here she's wondering. If she was worried in Luke 10, she's wondering here. Question this timing. Not too little here, but too late. Now, Mary, on the other hand, waits till she hears the Master's voice. She doesn't leave her position. Tell us His will that she does so. And then she goes out to meet Him, and this will be her one statement, her one direct statement, directly to the Lord Jesus. And it's exactly the same as Martha's, but it's shorter. You look here, if you will, at verse 32 again. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Now, that's the exact same thing Martha said, except she added nothing more beyond that. She was weeping, and she fell down at His feet. Once again, in that position of humility, of just looking to Him, that He's the answer for everything. And I would submit to you that in this context, this statement isn't the if of doubt. It's the acknowledgement of faith. If Thou wouldst been here, my brother would have not died. You are the answer. Martha and Mary didn't understand it all either. But here at His feet, Martha caused a dialogue between Him. She reached His mind. The Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life, because He had to answer Martha's question and so on. Martha reached His mind. Mary reached His will. He went into action and she reached His heart. There she is at his feet, communing with a broken heart, at the feet of the Lord Jesus for comfort. First you find her at the feet of the Lord Jesus for hearing his word. Now she's at the feet of the Lord Jesus for comfort. Where else could she go? And pours out her broken heart to the Lord, looks nowhere else, and just opens her heart to him, and reaches his very heart and his very will. Look what happened in verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. She reached his heart. Where have you laid him? There was no dialogue here. Where have you laid him? And Jesus wept. Well, you look here at verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the cave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. That's a command. Once again, Martha questions the judgment of the Lord Jesus. Look what happens. Verse 39. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Question his ability now. First questions his compassion, then questions his timing, then questions his ability. Well, it's an impossible situation. In other words, it's too long, and things are too bad. At one time, this could have been fixed. It's not too little here or too late, but now it's too long and too bad. It's beyond solving now. He stinketh, if you will. I heard the story once of a man who preached a sermon, a whole sermon, on that one little phrase that we just read here in verse 39. He stinketh. He stinketh. Preached a message on that. And a man got saved from that message. And the essence of his message was this. That when something is dead, the longer it's dead, the more corrupt it becomes. And it stinks and so on. And he went to the fact in Ephesians 2:1 that we, before we're saved, are dead in trespasses and sins. And the longer we stay in that state, the more corrupt we become in our heart and our attitudes. Not only individually, but as a society. He stinketh. And the longer, and the man was convicted of the rottenness of his heart and cried out for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing the power of the Word of God. But anyway, she's questioning the Lord Jesus here that it's too long and things are too bad. Is anything impossible for the Lord? And so once again, question him, but Mary doesn't say a word. Well, you know what happens here. Look at verse 39. What the Lord had said here in verse 39, which we read, take ye away the stone. And then you know he said, Lazarus came forth, and he comes forth in those grave clothes, and he lives. And then the Lord Jesus says, take off the grave clothes from him. You know, as you study, especially in the Gospel of John, the miracles of our Lord Jesus, you'll see a principle that's right here before us. That the Lord Jesus only does the miracle part. What we can do normally, he'll never do for us. The Lord will not do by miracle what we are to do by obedience. You see, remember the miracle of turning the water into wine. He told the servants, fill the water pots with water to the brim. He could have done that. He didn't even need water. I mean, if he's going to turn water into wine, you have to have the atom of carbon there. You have to create carbon to make wine from water. But, you see, they could do that. They could not ever change the consistency of water into wine. He had to do the impossible, you see. You will see in the Christian life, there are things he will not do for you. What we are to do by obedience, he won't step in and do a miracle. If there's a problem in the assembly, if sin needs to be judged, you'll say, well, we'll leave it in God's hands. No, God won't do it. He says, you do it. In other words, there's things we do by obedience. But you know, there's many things we can't do. It's absolutely impossible. How could they give life to Lazarus? They can roll the stone away, and they can loose the grave clothes. They could never impart life to somebody dead and decaying that stinks. He'll do the impossible, but he wants us to do the practical, what he's given us to do. Well, of course, he came to life here. But the story here between the two sisters, one is at his feet for comfort, moves his heart, moves his will. The other questions his ability and says it's too long and it's too bad. A difference between the two sisters. Mary hath chosen the good part. It shall not be taken away from her. Then you go to the third passage of these two sisters, John chapter 12. John chapter 12. You look here at verse 1. Verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Martha will not be at the table in fellowship with the others. She's busy serving. If in Luke 10, she's worrying. If in John 11, she's wondering. Here she's working. That's not necessarily bad. But she's not at the table. Martha serves. But would you look and see where Mary is in verse 3? Then Mary took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. She never said a word, but she did a mighty thing that elsewhere is called a beautiful or a good work. You look at verse 4. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 3 pence and given to the poor? There's greater issues out there. There's the poor. You know, we need to help the poor and the homeless. Well, you have the poor with you always, and so on. But his real motive wasn't the poor. You see, verse 6, then he said not, or this he said, that he cared for the poor, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against, or that is, unto the day of my burying hath she done this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. And so he said, let her alone. She has done this unto the day of my burying. Mary had some understanding that even the great disciples didn't have, that the Lord Jesus was going to die. They didn't understand that at this point. She did to some degree. And in honor of him, she took a costly sacrifice, a spikenard, broke it open, anointed his feet, and down at his feet, washed the Savior's feet with her very own hair. And the odor filled the room. And you know, when people left that room, whenever this heavy perfume, you always pick up a little scent of it. And the woman, without saying a word, people would leave with a sweet aroma, pointing unto the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, let her alone. You see, the Lord not only noticed the differences, he appreciated Mary at his feet, choosing the good part. Here we see Mary is at his feet in worship. If in Luke 10, she's at his feet to hear his word. If in John 11, she's at his feet for comfort. Here she's at his feet in adoration and worship. Martha, busy serving. May God encourage us in these two sisters. Not that serving is wrong, but to understand there is a better part, there is a good part. Is it possible we can, in our busy society, with family, with the church, with everything else, become so busy in activities and programs and this and that, serving, 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 busy learning, dialoguing, questioning? Well, there's a place for these things. But have we chosen the good part? You know, I have to examine myself in this because of busy schedules and this and that. Is there time? I set at his feet and simply listen to his word. I said, what do you have to say to me? Not what am I going to say to others. What do you have to say to me? Is there a time when our hearts don't understand things and we're broken inside, but we don't pour it out this unworldly method? We pour it out at the Savior's feet and we tell it unto Jesus, as they say, and we can move his heart. And we don't always question him that, well, it's too little. Oh, if only, you're too late. Things would be different. Or it's too bad, it's too long, it can't be corrected. Do we give up on the Lord Jesus? And are we willing to settle for less? Mary wasn't like that. And then, do we pour out our hearts before him and give him the worship and adoration? It doesn't have to be flowery words. Mary didn't say a word here. But the Lord said, let her alone. It's unto the day of my burying. Taken up with his death. And worship him and adore him. This is what he wants out of us. And his lesson is here, Mary hath chosen the good part. It shall not be taken from her. But what also happens individually happens in personality in local assemblies. As I travel around, I see different personalities in local assemblies. Some are more like Martha, and some are more like Mary. And we see these whole personalities develop, that the church is designed by God to be a temple. It's to be a temple. A temple is a worship center. It's to be unto the Lord. You know the local church is called in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You see, it's one thing to stop at the individual level, but we move on to the church intentionally. That's the house of God. That's His portion. That's where He dwells. And really, that's where the Scriptures always take us, into God's portion. And you know, I see many, they have programs and serve, and they love the Lord. And they do. But is there time for the remembrance of the Lord? You know, as we did here this morning, this do in remembrance of me. Take the bread and take the cup. And come with our hearts prepared. Prepared whether silently or orally. To give Him our adoration. And the room is filled with the pleasant aroma of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, He said in 1 Corinthians 11:26, speaking of the Lord's Supper, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until He come. Occupied with His death, like Mary was. And what a thing it means to the Lord, that great price He paid for our sin at Calvary, when He shed His blood. And here we come with hearts taken up with Him. Not in performances, not in this or that activity, quietly at His feet, pouring out our hearts, giving to Him what He is worth. That pleases the Lord. Pleases the Lord. And do we sit at His feet to hear His word? Do we just come and say, whoever you use, however the Spirit leads, I'm really not here to just get satisfaction or get an emotional high or to get my problems fixed. I want to hear what you have to say. And when we hear what He has to say, and we're here to hear His word, what do you want me to learn this morning? And we listen to Him, we'll see that our needs do get met. And when we don't understand and we're brokenhearted as an assembly, where do we take it to? Do we have prayer and communion where we pour it out and tell the Lord Jesus and watch Him go into action and not question His ways, but to wait on the Lord? You see, you will read in the Word of God that the house of God is designed to be unto God. Unto God. There are things that we do for God, but there are things that we do unto God. The New Testament assembly is God's house. And just like your house exists unto you, it exists unto Him. Where it's His Word we listen to. Where it's we worship Him, etc. We don't have to be busy, busy, busy in the house of God. We want to find ourselves at the Lord Jesus' feet. I want to show you an example of this in our closing minutes. If you'll go to 1 Kings chapter 6, please. 1 Kings chapter 6. Some things we do are for the Lord. But like Mary, there are things we need to do unto the Lord. When Solomon built the house of God here in 1 Kings chapter 6, you look at verse 2. Verse 2. 1 Kings 6 and verse 2. And the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 70 cubits, etc. So he built a house, the temple, for the Lord. So that's a wonderful thing to do. But once that house was built, and the activity began to happen inside, the emphasis will change. If you'll go two chapters down to 1 Kings 8, please. 1 Kings chapter 8. And you look here at verse 62. Verse 62. And the king and all Israel with them offered sacrifices before the Lord. Now before means in front of Him, in His presence. Before His face, the word literally means. That they're doing it unto Him and before Him, as verse 63 says. And Solomon offered sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto the Lord. 20,000 oxen, etc., etc. So now there's offering, not for the need of man. It's giving God His portion. Giving up these oxen value. And before the Lord's presence, offering unto the Lord. He built the house for the Lord. But then the house was used unto the Lord. And that is the purpose of God's assembly. You know, there's a big difference between for and unto. My wife can call me on the phone and say, honey, while you're out at the store, I forgot to get cat food. Would you pick me up some cat food? And so I would say, somebody said, what are you doing? I'm getting cat food for my wife. I'm also picking up a sock for myself and some shaving lotion, and including her in it. I'm getting cat food for my wife. When it comes to our anniversary or a surprise birthday party, and I have a little surprise dinner and party for her, that's not as much for her as it is unto her. You see, it's all designed for her. And what I have there is not what I like, and certainly there'd be no cat food there, but I would get her favorite food, and I would give gifts to her. It would all be unto her. That makes a big difference in what I did for her at the grocery store. It is important to do things for the Lord. But if you study the New Testament assembly, it is a temple where we come together to give unto Him and to hear His word and let Him speak to us. And then as we're built up, we can go out and do things for the Lord. So may God encourage us. You know, I was at a place recently, I won't give you the name. It was a one-room schoolhouse. 30 Christians met in that one-room schoolhouse, simply broke bread and opened the time up and said, let's hear what the Lord has to say. And I said to them, and I'm not trying to make a point here when I say this, I said, what time do you want me to end? You end when you're done, brother. Okay. But the attitude, they were there to hear the word of the Lord, okay? And they were there to worship the Lord. They came out of a place that evolved into a mega church that was 700 people, two messages in the morning, programs all over the place, for the young, for this, for that, anything you wanted, it was there. Because they were so busy, they put the breaking of bread every week at night. 700 came out for two services in the morning, 40 came out for the breaking of bread at night. You know what the lady said to me? She says, for years, I've been a Martha. She said, that's not wrong. And the husband said, we've been involved in this, we've been involved in that. And he said, I look back at what we were doing, all these programs, and notice the people we were working with, there was really no change. Once at the level of salvation, there wasn't much change beyond that. I said, what are we really accomplishing? And she says, now that we're simply focused on the Lord, she said, I'm a married now. And she said, I'm as content as can be. You know, it's those thoughts that's kind of stimulated me to do some meditation on those passages and examine my own heart. So I'm speaking to believers this morning. So may God encourage us not to forsake serving the Lord. Of course not. He loved Martha also. But Mary has chosen the good part. One thing is needful. At His feet for hearing the word. At His feet for comfort. At His feet in adoration of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we do thank Thee for the Lord Jesus, this worthy one, this one who died on the cross and rose again. He died for us and He lives for us. He has gone into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Someday He's coming for us. But Lord, through His Word and the Spirit, we can hear Him now. He has spoken through His Word. He's alive. He's our high priest. He intercedes. We can come to Him in time of weakness and infirmities. And Lord, we can give Him what is worth. We think of the great voice in heaven, the crowd in heaven someday, that will cry out and say, Alleluia, glory and power and wisdom and honor unto the Lord our God. It's all unto Him. That we understand why we're here and why we exist, and to be encouraged and not always question the Lord, but just trust Him and know His ways. And so, Father, we just ask to build up the brothers and sisters in the trials of life here and encourage us in these examples Thou has given us through Martha and Mary. And, Lord, although we did not preach the gospel to the unsaved today, if there's any here that don't know Thee, that never received Him into their heart like Martha and Mary received Him in their home, without receiving Christ, they'll have no comfort. They'll have no reason to worship. They're without hope. They're lost in this world and headed for judgment. Yet the Lord will come in if He's invited. And even this morning, they'll receive the one who died for their sins and rose again. And the promise is, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. We'd ask Thee to bless Thy word to the Sunday school and to the congregation here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.